Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. You know, I was just listening to Dr. Marshall's show a couple of minutes ago, and what a Saturday we give you guys. You know, it's the 1-2 punch, and you really do need the 1-2 punch. And what I mean is, you know, Dr. Marshall spent the last three and a half decades of his life sourcing these great treasures that God's given us through the plant kingdom. And if you can afford it, and as much as you can do it, and as much as you can appropriately use it, you use these plants, these herbs, these special treasures. But you never, ever, ever replace them with fundamentals. And that's what this show is. This is the second part of it, in a sense, because I have the luxury of spending an hour to talk purely about education and all the basic fundamental things that you can do and fundamental perspectives on healing that you have to have. And I've had a lot of fun this last summer, and even up till now, I'm doing something similar to reality TV with some of my patients, which means they get followed around like reality television. And what's fascinating to me, and you would find this fascinating to you, is all the things they miss, all the things the public, all the little things that they're doing wrong or not truly understanding. And I have to remember, it's taken me 20 years across 4 degrees to really get a sense of how to even approach this to the public. So I can understand how John Q. Public really is making all these little mistakes. But you see, the fascinating thing is combined then when you watch people attempt their healing, go through their process, they're zigging when they should zag and they're zagging when they should zig. And we're losing a lot of energy and time and money. And this is really where God's children perish. I think for as much as we can say it's a faith issue sometimes, in other words, you don't have the right spiritual perspective, it's also about knowledge. So this is the 1-2 punch Saturday morning, and I'm going to give you guys a midterm. This is the 24th show. We've been on now for about 6 months and 5 months, and this is midterm time. And what I want you to do, a little experiment, I want you to take out a sheet of paper, if you can, and I want you to write down as fast as you can the 15, even 20 most important things that you can do for your health, product of what you've heard on this show, what you've heard from Dr. Marshall's show, what you've heard from any show. But don't write down what herb to take. Write down what lifestyle change to make. I want you to do that, and I'm going to start with my checklist. And if you're out there and you're not feeling well and you're frustrated, what I hope, what I truly, really hope we can get across to you is stop looking for the miracle cure. Even for the purposes of this show, stop looking for the miracle herb or set of herbs and start interpreting your symptom, your issue, your disease, whatever it might be, with how many fundamental shifts have I made in the last month and how many more am I going to make the next month and the next month? And are you looking back at your last year, and are you assuming responsibility for yourself so that you can say, you know what, in the last year, I've added 15 new commitments. I've done 15 things differently to improve my health because I've got all this knowledge, and I listen to these shows and read these, and I'm changing. But what I caution you about is getting lost in the quagmire of research and shows and books, all telling you that this one simple nutritional supplement or herbal supplement is going to fix it. And is that your research or is it? How many things am I adding per month to my list of things that I do differently? Do you get the difference between the two? Because that difference is huge. I watch people spin as a doctor. People spin. They spin for years in chronic illness because they don't know how to approach their healing. And it's not that they're insincere, and it's not that they're not very intelligent. It's simply they don't have perspective. Now, I hope you already finished the quiz. All right, number one, do you have the correct attitude? And that could be the essay for the whole show. Correct attitude. We hit that in the 10 signs of healing. The 10 signs of healing. That correct attitude is about, are we still stamping our feet on the ground? Are we still cursing the heavens? Are we still looking up at God and saying, why did this happen to me? And are we not starting to understand that what we're suffering from is a hint? It's a hint from above. It's a hint from within that we have to grow. Do you get that one? Are you having the temper tantrum? Or are you seeing maybe your symptom, maybe even your chronic illness as a stepping stone, as a potential blessing? That's number one. Number two, are you sleeping? Are you turning out the light so it's dark? Did you fix the snoring issue? Have you turned off all the EMF, the computer, the night lights? Are you eating too late at night? Do you understand that if you're not sleeping, sometimes coming out of chronic illness, it might take a full year of healing to get you to the point where your body gets sedated enough? Are you understanding how that eating late at night is going to rot the food in your stomach? Even if you take digestive enzymes, often it's still going to allow that food to rot. Remember, the herb contributes, but it may not be enough. Are you understanding that eating too late is going to keep you up? Have you fixed that problem in the neighborhood with the neighbors? Is your head at a computer so late at night that your brain fields go off and you can't sedate yourself at bedtime because you've got radiation burns inside your head? What about your diet? What have you changed with food? On your checklist, correct spiritual attitude, sleep. What have you really done in the last year with food, in the last 6 months? Are you understanding that the carbohydrate is going to create a condition internally, all right, that's going to throw your body's physiology off? Because when you run your day with high blood sugar or the more processed carbohydrates, it makes advanced end-chain glycation products. It creates all sorts of insulin problems, hyperinsulinemia off the carbohydrate. And some of you are so susceptible to this. Sets up a hormonal imbalance through the body that's wretched. Did you check the Weston Price ketogenic diet? Have you looked into the caveman diet, the primal diet, the paleo diet, Natasha Campbell's gut syndrome book? Are you understanding, based on suggestions I've made on this show, et cetera, that probably our future is going to have a lot less respect for grain and especially processed carbs and a lot more for eating the way the caveman ate 10, 15,000 years ago? That there's something about grains that doesn't quite metabolize the same way as animal protein. What about your teeth? Is there that little infection in your tooth? Is the bite off? Is there that TMJ problem that's going on? Are you clenching at night? Are you grinding at night? Are the teeth a source of health or are the teeth a source of illness? Have you just not had the time to look into that particular problem? And again, all these are off my show, these different suggestions and things you can do. But you see, you get lost in the maze and you get lost in your own physical pain. And the point is that if you just sat down and you compiled a list of all the things you're doing and you compared it to all the things you were doing 3 months ago and all the things you'll be doing in 3 months, over a year, you create a healing. And that's a perspective that I will labor infinitely to get to you, because it is the single, as far as I see it, most driving factor in whether or not a person heals. Can they stick to the fundamentals and keep their head on straight? That's really how you exercise your faith, through the exercises of healing and keeping on track with it. Those teeth that we're talking about, do you remember when the bite is off, or when you clench at night, it shuts off the high centers of the brain? High up in the center of the brain, the hypothalamus gland, the master gland, the gland that devotes itself to eyeballing all the trillions and trillions and trillions of chemical reactions each day. And when the bite is off, the hypothalamus can't see straight. It becomes nearsighted, and all sorts of wretched little influences from the outside, like free radicals, like parasites and viruses, all sorts of different things attack the body. And without the hypothalamus precisely responding in the moment, because it's nearsighted now, because your bite is off, and because you can't see that particular alien creating the early stages of disease in your body, you succumb. And if you're not sleeping enough, the other side of a sleep problem, the hypothalamus goes off too. So both on the basis of sleep and on the basis of bite, we lose the master gland. We say the head fields are off. Are we thinking about the teeth in that respect? Let me ask you this question. Are your meridians open? What does that even mean? Does the energy flow? Are you comfortable at this point with understanding that the way I would look, and the way many would look at a person in illness, is to say the fields, the flow of energy through the body, the meridians, are they patent? That word that I use so often. Have you gotten to the point where the energy flows? Do you know what that means? Or do you even have a sense of what that means? If you woke up today and looked at a blood test and said, wow, I've got a concern here. Or you got a diagnosis this week and said, wow, I have a concern here. Was the first thing that popped into your head, well, gee, I don't think I quite have this energy thing understood yet. I don't feel what other people are talking about, and what can I do about that? Did you add that to your list? I work with you guys relentlessly, and I don't think that we're thinking this way enough. So I'm going to be on this show to really ask you to write these things down and go through the exercise now. Remember that exercise from last week's show where I said, get a book of a person that healed some sort of chronic problem. Lloyd Wright, hepatitis C from last week. Triumph over hepatitis C. And add that to another book of somebody that did that. Get every case history you've ever heard and make a special shelf, almost like a sacred shrine in your room. And make that sacred library the place where you, in a sense, talk to or dialogue with people that have done inspirational things, just like you're trying to do to get out of the issue that you're dealing with. That's an exercise. That's a lifestyle change. That's something that you can do. And believe me, it works. Add to that this checklist concept. You have to sit down with a checklist every so many weeks and ask yourself where you're spending your focus. Otherwise, you get lost scanning websites all day long looking for new miracle cures. And they're interesting, these new miracle cures. It's wonderful to hear about how somebody's come up with a discovery about something that nobody else understood, and studies show that it works. And this is the way a lot of people spend their time. That's okay. It's okay to do. But don't ever let it replace focusing on fundamentals. Really makes a difference. Now, interference fields. What's your concept on that? What is an interference field? Do you understand how the interference field, the scar, is going to block the flow of energy? But what does that really mean in your physical experience? When you apply a med body pack to your body, do you take it to the point where you feel differently? Where you feel like something opened up? And that's the issue. Are you taking a lot of these things that sound so, in a sense, esoteric or metaphysical, and understanding that they have real effects in the body, things that you can feel? And if you're not feeling them, then you got to go back and take a look at that. You've got to turn these things into reality. It's as if to say, if you corrected your bite, would you say, wow, my head feels clearer that my bite's been corrected. Wow, I took out a carbohydrate and I just feel stable and more balanced. Wow, I'm getting 6 straight hours of sleep now because I'm taking the time to do it. And I can see that it brings my energy up. And by golly, my back pain isn't as bad as it used to be. I didn't know there was a connection. These are the things, when people get to the point where they experience the reality of something, it sticks. But you got to focus on its potential or you never experience it. It's just words that sound good and we nod our head, but we don't have that catharsis, that true enlightenment that comes with the experience. So when we talk about interference fields then, do you really understand that if you have a scar on a tissue and you stretch that tissue that's scarred from a surgery or some form of trauma, that you're going to feel, if you give yourself the time to feel it, some sort of blockage in the body. It's a physical blockage. And when you say that interference field is resolved, then what goes with it is the experience of not feeling that blockage anymore. That you're feeling that the energy, some warm flow of blood, of magnetic flow through that blocked tissue, is not there anymore, and now you feel that flow. How about EMF? Have you experienced yet the EMFs? And again, this is on your checklist. Have you experienced radiation? Have you had that day where you're at the cell phone or you're on the computer all day, and then you spend 2 days away from it, and you feel the difference in your body? And then what have we done over the months to limit that exposure? Have we utilized all those little tricks that we've talked about on these different radio shows that I've done? Have we gotten the EMF protectors? Have we gotten a hands-free in the car? Are we making sure that we organize our time and our social networking in a way where we're minimizing the amount of time we're on the screen? Have we moved, okay, the hard drive away from our legs down low by the desk? Have we gotten connectors and lengtheners with the wires so that the hard drive moves far away? What about the exposure out in daily experience that we don't even know we're getting? Is your car a radiation chamber? Are you living? Did you just rent an apartment? And if you take a Gauss meter, and can you go online and find these Gauss meters where you can measure radiation throughout the areas that you are in your home, in your car, at your office? Are you aware of your EMF exposure? And add that to your list. Digestion. Are you digesting food where each day you eat the food and it disappears in your stomach? Now, yes, you take the digestive enzymes, but nonetheless, have we gotten it to the point where we swallow food and it goes down into our stomach and the HCL and the bile and the pancreatic enzyme all dissolve the food and it absorbs very nicely and we defecate later on in the day very quickly and with well-formed stools, and have we taken care of that? So do we have the correct spiritual axis? Are we sleeping? Are we eating the right foods? Have we taken care of the teeth? Have we opened our meridians? Have we really dealt with what the interference field is? Have we gotten away from harmful radiation? Have we gotten into areas where there's good radiation? There's harmful radiation, there's good radiation. Are you thinking you're going to move soon? Are you going to change the apartment that you live in? Are you going to go off to another state someday? Do you understand that where you sleep at night, in relationship to nature, in relationship to what's around you, has a massive effect on the future of your health? Is there that place that you dream about that you wish you could live, but you just don't feel you can do it, but someday you're going to? Are you thinking in those terms? Because that's how people heal. At the top of your list, in a sense, is where you live. Did you add that one to the list? Are you doing the flushes? Do you really get at this point that when you get patent and open through your biliary system, when the bile flows completely out your body easily, it allows your brain to clean your organ systems? Is that set up in your mind? Are you seeing bile? Have you done these flushes? And are you seeing bile come out of your body? Do you recognize that when you do, have you felt that it makes your body feel so much better? Have you done the kidney flushes? Do you understand that the calcium central concept will precipitate out of your blood as hydroxyapatite or as calcium oxalate? And whether you're making kidney sand that's lodging up in your ear or hydroxyapatite that's messing up your joints or sticking to the inside of your arteries, that if you chelate or bind up that calcium with citrate, potassium citrate from potatoes, say, from potato juice, from celery, from any good source of potassium, the citrate binds the calcium and keeps it in solution. Look at the science behind those flushes. The bile flows, the body degranulates its mucus and its oils, its toxic oils, all of which will drain out through the gallbladder. And then the kidney flush will take all the sand-like calcium chelates that mess up the body's joints and arteries, so on and so forth. Then there's the colon flushes. Are we understanding really what the biofilm is all about? The biofilm, those infections, those internal environments that we give our body to build and grow all sorts of communication systems between parasite, between virus, between bacteria, that have an intelligence that allows it to shred this cocoon around itself. And so the infective titer, meaning the amount of infection we hold in the body long term. And who is that? Who has that infection? Why should it be on your checklist? Because everybody lives an infection, some degree or another. And it's not about getting the infection. It's about changing the internal terrain of the body so that the infection just doesn't have a place to live. So on that checklist, you'd put biofilm, colon cleanse, / infective titer, meaning the level of infection that you hold because your internal terrain promotes the growth of infection. That is so much more elegant and effective than looking for that particular infection that you have and engineering some drug or even herb to go after that infection. Because they are both of limited potential. But the potential of you to change the internal house, the one that you live in, so that that infection just has no reason to be there, is the way you close the deal. So is that on your list? And do you understand that that colon cleanse, when we say clean the large intestine, right? So we say clean the liver, gallbladder. We say clean the kidney. We say clean the large intestine. Now, why clean it? Because the large intestine, its physiology is very dependent upon ample, large amounts of mucus that coat the inner lining of that large intestine and trap all sorts of things, infectives, toxins, metals. Trap these things so that they don't go into your systemic circulation. But that mucus can build up into impaction, and mixed with the toxicity of the stool, the inner lining can start to hold these mucus plugs of infections, toxic material. And that's the perfect terrain for the biofilm to develop. So when we say infection, when we say chronic infection, make no mistake about it. That chronic infection lives in the large intestine. Thus, the age-old naturopathic maxim. The wise old saying, 80% of all disease begins in the colon. That's what they were getting at. So, when you wake up and you feel your ache and pain, or you go to the doctor and you get your blood test, and you walk out and you sit in your car and you sit there and you say, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this problem? my advice to you. I implore you to consider that what you need to do is go home and sit down and look at your checklist and ask yourself, how many of these things are you doing, have you done, or will you do to get on the other side? But the tendency, the strong mental tendency, is to say, what's the specific fix for my specific problem? And that's where you make your mistake. Don't do that. And if you can get that, then do it anyway. Because it's good to get the specific, but not at the cost of the general. It's a more subtle concept, but it's important. The miracle of healing is that you have the capacity to understand the things I'm talking about. The miracle of healing is that you, I don't care what you do for a living, what walk of life you're from, the miracle is that God gave you the capacity to understand these concepts. But that's a miracle in action then. The miracle that faults people is when they're out there looking for that miracle cure. And yeah, I guess 1 in 1,000 times there is one, but I've been doing this 20 years now. I just don't see enough of those types of miracles. But I see these types of miracles all the time. That's why I bring these people on my show. If you listened last week to the show, and if you haven't, that's straighttalk.cc, straighttalk.cc, 1-888-777-0711. After the show, I'll be on for about an hour answering questions. That's 888-777-0711, and that's straighttalk.cc. And if you're listening and you don't have a computer, please get a computer. You need a computer. I'm the first to say I put these computers off for years, but I had to get a computer, and I had to master the computer. I have 5 computers now. I'm a technology maniac. Developing this radio show turned me into one. But my point to you is that you want to start streaming radio shows. You just don't need to listen to them on the machine we call a radio. You can get to the radio station off a computer by streaming the show. And radio stations love that because you get very clear reception then. And if you can use a computer, you can get to my website, straighttalk.cc, and you can hear these shows again. But my point was is that I'm bringing on people now regularly who have done the things I'm asking you to do. Lloyd Wright, that cured his own hepatitis C. He was in a pickle. Lloyd was having a problem. Lloyd was told he was going to die. You got to consider what it's like to be told something like that when you're a carpenter or a lawyer or an accountant. You don't really understand the ins and outs of healing. And this guy came back from that to total and complete health. His viral loads are at zero. They've been at zero for years. And it wasn't a fluke. And this is my point to you. The focus wasn't on what am I going to do for my hep C today as much as what am I going to do for my health. Do you dry brush your skin? Dry brushing the skin. The skin is the third kidney. The skin is the third kidney. If you have any reason to think that your kidneys are aging and slowing and not filtering because your feet are swelling or you're not hearing well or you have back pain or any of these things, and if you don't have any of these things, dry brush your skin anyway. Again, a fundamental. The skin is a third kidney, and when the pores open, the skin will excrete what the kidney would excrete otherwise. Not to mention the shine and the smoothness and the health that it brings to the skin. And we're all into lovely, beautiful, soft, supple skin. And you can have that at age 70, at age 80, at age 90. Cultures have done this. The Guatemalans hold their skin. The Southern Italians hold their skin. And it's not just the Latins. If you go to Ireland, where people live in harmony with nature, in the parts of Ireland that do, that Irish sort of tendency to have a thinner skin that doesn't really work in the southern, more tropical climates, but in their homelands, Scandinavia, Ireland, northern Germany, you see people in their 60s, 70s with no wrinkles. And you see, they, if you go into the families there, they all have these traditions where they work the skin correctly. So are you dry brushing the skin at least? How about the ability of the body to regenerate itself through exercise? And we did a whole show on exercise. Have we gotten to the point where we're more flexible? In the last year, has flexibility increased by 10%, 20%, 50%? And why flexibility? Do you really understand at this point that the very organs that you're so interested in helping with these wonderful herbs and these wonderful foods, that these organs can be physically crushed, can be spatially dislocated inside your abdominal cavity, and it renders your organ systems unable to drain their poisons out or to take the nutrition in. And you merely need to be not flexible enough. It doesn't have to be an injury or a scar. If you don't have flexibility, that psoas muscle dislocates anteriorly and it begins to crush all the organs in the abdominal cavity. So if you're not flexible, and again, that was a whole show on flexibility, if you're not flexible to the point where you need to be, and what's that point? Well, if you're standing and you bend down, can you palm the floor with your palms, stretching those hamstrings? If you're sitting on the floor with your legs open and you're coming forward with the legs wide open, do your elbows touch the floor? Can you bring the stomach to the floor? If you do the hurdler stretch, where you're stretching your quadriceps, it's a runner's stretch, where you bring your leg behind with the top of your foot down and your knee angled out about 30 degrees wide, and you lean back and you stretch your quadriceps, can you go all the way down? Can you get those stretches to the point where they feel good in the body? Can you do back bend? Can you arch your back like an upside down U? So on and so forth. And these are common stretches. They're all over the place. They're easy for you to find. There's videos on these things. There's morning TV programs on these things. There's yoga. There's Pilates. There's Tai Chi. There's stretch classes. Runners are always stretching. Gymnasts are always stretching. Dancers are always stretching. But do you understand at this point that to be flexible is to allow your organ systems to perfuse blood? How can we talk about circulation if we're not talking about flexibility? How can we talk about nutrition if the organ systems don't lie in the spatial planes that allow the nutrition to get in? And then tone, muscular tone. All people, whether it's organ-related issues or joint-related issues, have to have muscular tone. Muscular tone because the lower abdominal cavity keeps the organs in place. Tone in the lower abdominal cavity keeps the organs in place. And if the organs are in place, then they can perfuse and drain. Perfusion and drainage. If the organs are in place because there's tone in the abdominal cavity, the lower abdomen, you can bring the blood in and you can bring the blood out. But the minute you lose that tone in the lower abdomen, the organs prolapse. And once they prolapse, they get weak and vulnerable, and poisons build up that can't drain out. But tone throughout the whole body. A lot of the posture that the spine has to have is one half flexibility, and the other half of that posture, holding that youthful alignment that we all want, means the muscles have to be toned enough to keep the bones in place. So it's stretch them out and tone them up, and stretch them out and tone them up. And that balance is what we miss in athletics. We tone with big heavy weights, or we don't stretch enough, or we have injuries, and we get all sorts of physical therapy, but we never significantly widen and thicken the girth of the muscle. So look at that. So you're sitting there and you're concerned about symptoms you have, and your mind goes racing off into where's the solution? Go to the checklist. Now, if you put together enough lifestyle change, your cells begin to respond, and you start thinking in terms of the cell, not the organ anymore. Because the cell is really what regeneration and what return to health is about. And the cells are another sort of a inquiry as much as the organ is an inquiry. Because on a more microscopic level, the cell begins to suffer from all sorts of defects. And you can understand nutrition as nutrition to the cell just as much as, pragmatically speaking or practically speaking, you can understand healing as tendons to the organ systems. But the cell is another story. And I wanted to touch on the cell today. First, the cell membrane. Do you understand that when we say eat the fats, that the cell membrane is mostly fat? And that the minute we're not digesting the fat, we're not therefore absorbing the fat, we're not getting the good fats into the body, the membrane starts to tear more easily. Now, in an average second, that membrane of every cell is hit thousands of times a second. There's all sorts of damage constantly occurring to the membrane of the cell. And if the fats aren't there, then the membrane tears. Once the membrane tears, little bits of the cell spill out into the intercellular fluid. And that's the beginning of the inflammatory process. Once the inflammatory process starts, we start to snag up or scar. The scarring begins after the membrane breaks because it's fat deficient. The scarring begins in result to the immune system bringing in all sorts of remedies that have a backside to them, because all the immune system cells that gather around the guts of the cell spilled out initiate the deposition of fibrin. All the immune system cells that gather around the guts of the cell bursting through that torn membrane initiate the deposition of fibrin. Fibrin is scar tissue. So we have intercellular scarring. Scarring that you think of on the micro level, but it's still the same kind of scarring. And then we've got what you call the free radical, which the antioxidant neutralizes. But the free radical, when it hits to a threshold, initiates a sequence, meaning a free radical bomb goes off. So that the antioxidant can't keep up with the free radical because they're being generated now at a different acceleration. So you can take all the antioxidant you want, but the free radical production now starts to exceed the ability of the body to produce or to bring in exogenous or endogenous antioxidants, meaning the good guys are being outrun by the bad guys. Meaning that the free radical damage has exceeded anything that the body can withstand. And you have to go to another level to turn that off. And that level has to do with that checklist once again. In other words, that checklist, if you really look into what I just talked about, you can spin off into accounting for just about every single problem that you're going to face. The web between, or the interrelationship between what your symptom is and what produces that symptom, is so enormously complex that if you're trying to look for the thing that's going to fix it, you're outmoded. Your model is not effective enough. And yes, sometimes you can hit. But you just heard me go into in intercellular explanation that just took us back to what it would take to stop a sequence of free radical production that could far exceed any amount of nutrition that you brought into your body. You would have to use the biofields of the earth. You would have to understand that where you live and your freedom from EMF and your connection with nature, done correctly, would be really your recourse to open your meridians, to let energy flow, and to really understand what that means would be your recourse if you went into this free radical frenzy. Now look at what I just did. And what's my point? My point is that you can go down into the intercellular or intracellular dimension, and you can start to talk on higher levels of chemistry as it relates to a person's illness. And you can get lost in that dialogue only to end up with solutions that are still fundamental. And this is the thing about being a doctor that's wonderful. You study, you micro study. You take your education into all these nooks and crannies only to end up with, oops, I need to get my sleep. Or, oops, I need to move away from that oil refinery and up into the mountains overlooking the lake. And that's the irony of it. You're always being taken back to grandma's wisdom. You're often being taken back to biblical wisdom. So no matter how high tech we get, we go full circle back to basics. And this is why I say to you, don't get lost in the science, in the research, in the scanning the globe for the one super cure. Because I promise you, as you break illness down into its particulate pieces, you're going to end up being counseled back to basics. The autonomic nervous system. Another fundamental. Do we really understand what it is to relax once again? And do we understand that that's a feeling in the body? And you guys, you've had it. You've had it. But do you understand the consequence, the true consequence of not living it every day? To understand that, you'd have to understand that that very same little intracellular inflammatory story that I just gave you about the free radicals spilling out and multiplying faster than the antioxidant, and that results in cell death of an organ, that the organ will degrade when it initiates its own free radical frenzy. Do you understand that the only recourse in a moment like that is to prime the autonomic nervous system? What autonomic nervous system? That was show number 3 on stress. And what that means is, when you think back, can you identify, and this is on your checklist, can you identify that moment where you just calmed yourself to the point where you took that good deep breath and it felt good? Do you relate to that statement? Do you relate to that statement where you give somebody a hug, a loved one, a hug, and your whole body starts to relax? Do you have that meltdown in human relationship? Can you get that from prayer? Can you truly get that from prayer? Can you get that from a husband or a wife? Can you get that from a friend? Can you get that from your dog? However you get it, you've got to get it, and you've got to stay attached to it. Because in that moment we'll call the social meltdown. I don't think we're getting it talking to each other on Facebook. I suspect that there's something fundamentally flawed with that mentality. You know, I had someone the other day tell me that it was their birthday and, you know, they had all these friends that wished them happy birthday on Facebook. And, you know, I think that's a great thing. So don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking technology, but I suspect that what happens is that we start to replace that Facebook thing, et cetera, with real human communication. So take that for what it's worth. But my point is, even if you do it on Facebook, do you get that meltdown? Well, that meltdown, that warm feeling that comes from social interaction, from a relationship with God, That's a translation into your body, into your autonomic nervous system. That's your magnetic field moving and rolling into the cell to squash these sorts of biochemical chaoses that occur every single day. That's what that cancer cell is succumbing to. That wonderful meltdown and good feeling that flows through your body. Are you having that each day? Are you living like that? We call that balancing the autonomic nervous system. There's two nervous systems in the body. The one that speeds the body up, like your heart goes fast when you have to run. And then the parasympathetic nervous system. The other side, the parasympathetic, that slows your organs down, that gives you a sensation of relaxation. And are you living that way? Can you induce that? Can you balance your pH? pH is something that confuses people because they tend to think that you've got to do something to make your pH change. Now, yes, if you were going to pick a single food, the Carl Legend, I think the magnesium and calcium in there and the trace minerals combined with the aloe, if there was a single food out in nature to do this, to shift the pH the fastest, it would certainly be that. But the mistake that people make is that they think that you just do something to make your pH shift. And they don't realize that everything you do shifts your pH. If you're having pH problems, and why do we even put pH on a checklist? Because it's a goal. Because it's an indication that the totality of all the things you've done are giving you enough balance in terms of your mineral balance that you can create an alkaline intercellular fluid. When you put that urine on the dipstick and you look at that color, if it's yellow, it means that the water between your cells is too acidic. And that's not good because it'll deny you oxygen into the cell. And that's a trouble for the cell then. It goes into a anaerobic, a without oxygen metabolism, which is very inefficient. The point is that that pH is determined by everything on your checklist. So this focus on pH is good, but you've got to understand it's not about taking Carl Legend and that's it. It's about taking good foods, of which Carl Legend is one of the best, and then adding to that all the things on your checklist. But on your checklist should be balancing the autonomic nervous system and balancing the pH. So if we look back on this, if we look back on John Q. Public waking up and thinking in terms of his issues and what he's going to do about them and which radio show he's going to listen to and how many books is he going to read, he ends up with a checklist. And if you go to school for 20 years and tweet thousands of patients and ask yourself what your patient did at the end of that 1, 2, 3, 5-year journey, what did Lloyd Wright do to cure himself? If you ask yourself as a doctor at the end of these long healing journeys what people did, you're back to a checklist. Did you have the correct attitude? Did you sleep? Did you change the food? Did you fix the teeth? Are you moving your body? Flexibility, stretching. Do you have a real concept of opening your meridians? Did you rid yourself of your interference fields? Did you prime your digestion? Are you out of the way of harmful radiation? Are you exposed to good radiation? Have you flushed the liver and the gallbladder? Do you know why you're doing it? Are you really flushing the kidneys? Would you understand that that very same calcium deposition in different parts of your joints, possibly your ear, is about you flushing your kidney? Do you understand that all the anti-infective herbs and antibiotics that you're throwing at these infections throughout the body really begin in the colon? And did you flush your colon? Are you dry brushing your skin? What about your glandular system? What about your autonomic nervous system? has all of this gotten you to the point where you've balanced your pH, your glandular system, the hormonal system? Have we gotten mastery of the hormonal system? Yes, I have. I take Adrenal Complex, and I take Adaptogen, and I take Reishi, and I take Multipollen, and I take Gold 360. And yes, I know what to do for my hormonal system. No, that's not what I was talking about. That's good. That's good that you should do that. But do you understand that when we say glandular system, what we're saying is, have we accumulated enough reserve energy by taking care of all of these things on the checklist so that your glandular system has extra energy to distribute to the healing? Did you sleep enough? Did you exercise enough? Did you eat well enough so that your adrenal gland is not overloaded anymore, so that it can begin to repair, so that it can begin to accumulate a reserve energy? Same for thyroid, same for ovaries, same for thymus, same for hypothalamus, same for pituitary, same for testes. Did your glandular system fertilize itself through right living to the point where it can rest itself so that it can produce enough hormone in response to the stresses of your day? So if the thyroid starts to profit from your right living, the thyroid will begin to produce more hormone when necessary. If your lifestyle changes have allowed your adrenal gland to recharge itself under the stress of traffic or family stuff or work stuff, does your adrenal gland elegantly and without drainage or stress to itself give you more production of hormone that you need? Same thing with the sex hormones. When you really need to grow muscle because you exercised a little more, have you done enough good things for yourself so that your testes can put out ample amounts of testosterone at whatever age to rebuild and strengthen that tissue? That's the glandular system that I'm talking about. It's a little different. When doctors look at patients, they will say the patient's in deficiency. When they say the patient's in deficiency or the patient's in catabolism, meaning breakdown, it means the glandular system is exhausted. We may disperse with herbs to help those glands, but until we get the patient over 6 months to a year to recharge their body on multiple levels, those glands will not recover. And when they do, then we start to see the patient go from catabolism or breakdown to anabolism, which means they start building up and strengthening, and you can see the color of health begin to come back to their body. That's the glandular system I'm talking about. And you may simply think it's about an herb, and this is my point. To your checklist, put down, has my hormonal glandular balance, strength, depth of strength been returned to normal, healthy levels? It's very different than take this food or herb for the gland. Did you pass the exam? Are you thinking this way? If you did, bravo. If you haven't, and I know too many of you haven't, really hear what I'm saying. Now, in my reality show, with these people that we're doing, we're watching people go about their health day to day. And we're really seeing. It's like if a doctor could watch a patient day to day approach their healing. I mean, it's a fascinating journey. And it teaches me even more about what goes through your mind. You sitting there at your radio or computer listening to this broadcast about how to approach your health. I can't get you to a more important concept than the checklist. To bring the depth of your knowledge to each and every one of these things. That's passing the midterm exam for this show. Again, if you just tuned in, straighttalk.cc is the website. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. after the show, I'll be answering the lines, 888-777-0711, 888-777-0711. I'll spend a good hour answering your calls. I get to about 6-8 people. That's all we can do in an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And it always begins with a simple question, and by the time I'm done, we could write a book. And that's really your reality. People are complicated. They're deep. They have long stories. And they want to tell those stories. And then they want to know very specifically what they're supposed to do. And that's kind of funny. Because what they're supposed to do is look at a checklist. Now, what's different from person to person is some people need to work on other parts of the checklist more than others. But in the end, we all end up in the same place. This is deep. It sounds simple, I know. But I'm the guy that sits there and realizes that all too often we miss. And we miss because we can't get our perception of what you need to do into your mind. And the gap between the two is the difference between people that heal fast and people that take forever or never heal. Next week, I'm going to bring another guest on, someone that was facing, I don't want to say death, but they had stopped functioning. They lied on their floor in pain, didn't get medical help, meaning got medical help that didn't help them, tried a variety of approaches, and then put it together with me over 3 years using lots of these principles that you hear me talk about on the radio. And I do that because I want to turn their experience into your reality. I want to turn the experience of people that do it into your reality listening on the radio. Because you can do it, and I really believe you can do it. I really believe you're sincere, all of you, but I really believe that we're not getting you the core of the information. It's so time sensitive, and no one's got time. And that's why we're looking for new ways. So I'll see you next week. Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Again, I'll be on the phone, 888-777-0711. 888-777-0711. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.